Jennifer Goster, Director of the Sustainable Development Institute here at the College of the Menominee Nation. I just chatted with a gentleman here about the uniqueness of being here as a forester. Part of the role of being a forester and dealing with people on the landscape who own that land or who are a part of it is to understand realistically that you are indeed a part of what goes on there. That's a unique understanding in many places. It's a fairly common understanding in this geography. And so if you visit this place and talk to the people who live here and in their life pathways and how they think and behave, it's more common understanding. So for those of us who visit these places, it's a unique experience, and we feel privileged to be a part of it. Jennifer Goster is an enrolled member of the Menominee Nation. She earned a Master of Public Administration from UW Oshkosh and a Bachelor's degree in Political Science from UW-Madison. She is the Director of the Sustainable Development Institute at the College of the Menominee Nation, where Indigenous knowledge leads climate change, food systems, and sustainably related projects and research. At the core of Gothier's work is the integration of Menominee language and culture into all aspects of programming. Her work is inclusive of community voice and provides safe spaces for learning and sharing. She regularly gives up her time to teach traditional arts, Menominee language, and shares knowledge through various community presentations. Please help me welcome Jennifer Goster.
So before I begin, hello. All right. So before I begin, I wanted to extend gratitude to John and the Forest History Association of Wisconsin for the invitation for us to share about the Sustainable Development Institute and for the opportunity to be your keynote speaker here tonight. That carries a lot of responsibility and makes me very nervous, so I'll just say that right up front. And then I also wanted to say thank you to Tony Wapachick Jr. He is no longer working in our community. And when I first started in SDI, he was really welcoming and shared a lot with me and had asked me to be a part of this and to give the keynote here tonight too. And he had a lot of faith in me, so I want to recognize him and his work and for thinking this way about me. So much appreciated. So Po So Mauniwiak Wa Wanin Case Piak in this Metdet Kua Kikia Mawa Chase Natuit Yohbe Jennifer Gothier Ne Wiswan Niatamo Inet Akayan Omatnumane Esconi Khan Inet Skiwakian Naneka He Cook, Owees Won Lenore Waka, Missick Spencer, Curtis Gothier. Nakia Oneka He Cook, Owees Wonan, Hillary Sparky Waka, Missick Edith Skinador. Nohnat Oneka He Cook, Owees Wonan, Cynthia Winishik, Missick Theodore Gothier. Enia Wase Ne Tawam. Namak Ono Ki, Minis Match Kaki, No Homo Tiwi Kamek, Akamia Mihikane, Ne Manini Tun Skunion. Maoni Natamawawuk. So I wanted to say thank you, everybody, and thank you for being here at this forest gathering meeting place today. I shared with you my name is Jennifer Gothier, and my Indian name is Niatamo, and that's recently been changed by one of our young 3-year-old language speakers. She calls me Niatamosa, and I think that's probably more appropriate for where I'm at in life. I'm from the Menominee lands, and I shared with you my parents' name are Lenore Waka and Spencer Curtis Gothier. I shared with you my my mother's parents' names are Hillary Sparky Waka and Edith Skinador, and my father's parents' names are my grandparents are Cynthia Winishek and Theodore Gauthier. I'm from the Bear Clan, and I work in the big learning house across the road over that way. And I'm really happy to see all of you here, our fellow educators and learners. So for me, it's really important for our guests and visitors to hear the language when you visit our community. Our language is connected to our forest and to our environment, and our language connects us to our ways of knowing and to our ancestors. It helps us to be mindful of taking care of things and thinking about the future. And when we introduce ourselves to others, you learn not only about me, but you learn about the family that I belong to and the responsibilities that we carry. And through our introductions, we stay connected to our past, and we carry all of those who are no longer with us here on this earth with us. So in this short introduction, this is an entire system or model of Indigenous engagement. And as I talk about our Menominee theoretical model of sustainability, it's important to share what went into that model and all of the things that each of us individually carry when we talk about and work with that model. So I'm going to talk about building connections and relationships through our theoretical model. And I really like the picture that you see here because it shows sustainability, it shows balance, it shows Anani, Meshik, Matamo, our men and our women working together. They're wild ricing, and this is a way of sustainability that's not too far from our current history, our current place and time. So I just like to share that as a reminder to all of us that those ways are just right there. So I want to talk about Natanawe Makanuk, and Natanawe Makanuk literally translates into all of my relations. So in my language journey and listening to others, I learned it had another meaning and a more deeper meaning. And it was shared to me by a Cree elder that lived in northern Canada. And he had a whole story about this. And the way he said it was Natanawe Makanuk, really close to Natanawe Makanuk. We're from the same Algonquin language family. And the story that he shared was one of strength, and that this was a word that carried him through some really hard times. And he shared what this word means is heart within hearts. And this resonated with me, and it held so much more meaning. And so as we think of our families and friendships, those that are no longer here with us, we're thinking about that heart within hearts, and it captures how we think about things. So I wanted to share a little bit about Natanawe Makanuk, or my heart within hearts, and what led me here, literally, to the spot today. So I wanted to talk about my my Grandpa Waka and my Grandma Waka, and those are my mom's parents. Spent a lot of time with both sides of my grandparents. I enjoyed all of the teachings that they shared with me, and my Grandma Waka worked for the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. She had 12 children, and was a part of a workforce where women weren't very present, and she worked really hard, and she adapted with the times. And I think one of my greatest memories of her and one of the teachings that she gave me was to always keep learning and to never let technology hold you back. And it was probably like 1993, and we went to her work to pick her up for the day, and it was 4:30. And she was very dutiful at work at 8 o'clock and out at 4:30, very dutiful with her time. And she had heard that the tribe was gonna start buying PCs and people needed to learn how to use these PCs, and she had only used a typewriter. So instead of retiring or quitting or fighting, she enrolled herself in classes in Shawano, and she went to computer classes 2-3 times a week for 3 hours a night after work. And that was really amazing to see, and commitment to learning, and that's something that I learned from my Grandma Waka. My Grandpa Waka was a World War II vet. He was in the Marines, and he was one of the first troops to arrive in Nagasaki, and saw some really horrific things. And spending time with him, he shared with me some of those horrific things and how it changed his life. He became sober, and he realized the importance of the environment and wanted to protect Indigenous peoples. And from as long as I can remember, he wanted all of his grandchildren to understand the threats to our communities and the threats to our lands. And he spent his entire life fighting to protect this reservation from mining. He fighted to protect uranium waste being stored here on this reservation. And I remember not living here and living in New York, and my grandpa would send us tapes and recordings of these gatherings that he was at. And I was just a little one, and I was like, why are they doing this to us? What's going on? What's happening? And up to his dying day, like the day before he passed away, he was at the Crandon mine site protesting. And that was his commitment to our people. And carry that with me. And made me realize the importance of what we have and the threats, and that they keep coming. My grandma Cynthia was a first language speaker. She did not go to school until she was 8 years old, when they found her and her sisters and made her go. They were not allowed to speak the Menominee language anymore. And she did not get her GED until she was an adult later in life. And she did a lot for our community with language reclamation and language revitalization. And she taught so much to all of us about family and togetherness and safe places. And her and Grandpa's home was just a place where all of us grandchildren learned what true love really was. My Grandpa Theodore was a hard worker. He retired at the age of 72, and he built his garage and did that within 6 months. And then when he was done, he went back to work and worked until he was 81 years old. just that work ethic is something that he instilled with all of us. My mom is also about perseverance and adapting and surviving. She sewed our clothes for us, always made sure that we ate good foods, and right now she's walking around with a walker because she was riding her mountain bike and had a little wipeout, and she's 72 years old. And I told her, I was like, that's kind of a cool injury and something to be proud of. So really happy that I have like a really strong mother. My dad was in the service and served 20 years in the Air Force, and he retired, and then he served another 15 years as a civilian, and taught us about music and gave me my love for Buddy Holly. And there's a picture of him here. And he's in another part of his life right now. And really interesting that Menominee was his first language when he was growing up, and that went away for him. And now in this stage of his life, that language is coming back. I have three brothers and I have a sister, and we tease each other and we fight each other and we love each other. And it'll be that way forever. I also have an extended family. So all of us in our community, we have our cousins, our brothers and sisters, our aunts and uncles are actually our moms and dads. And I'm thankful to be part of a family that's what we live and that's what we practice. We also have our adopted families and those people that become our family members. I'm a language learner and have been for quite some time now. Still working on fluency, but in that journey, I've been able to create this beautiful language family. We take care of each other, we speak to each other in the language, we encourage each other, and these are people that, we're just there for each other in every possible way. A little bit about myself. I'm trying really hard to learn to be a good Menominee, and I've wanted to be on this path my entire life. John shared that I'm the director of the Sustainable Development Institute. I'm also adjunct faculty at the College of Menominee Nation, where I teach Menominee language. I'm a graduate of the Menominee Indian High School, graduate of UW-Madison and UW-Oshkosh. But what's really important for me is being a daughter, a sister, an auntie, an adopted mom, and probably my most cherished role was being granddaughter. Each of these roles carries different responsibilities. They imbue relationships, and this changes throughout an individual's lifetimes. And for our family and many within our Menominee community, we are indeed a people of hearts within hearts. Nawakium, or my home, or where I live. Well, I am from Sawano, or I live in the town of Shawano, or from the south, and not directly on the Menominee Indian Reservation. But most of what we now call Wisconsin is our ancestral territory, so I think of it as more of a land back thing. Living here, learning here, and being part of a community is also part of Natanawe Mackinac, as we have our relationships with our natural environment. Our land helps form our identity, and as you saw through your field experiences today, you learn the deep history of relationships of our forests, waters, and plants. And one of our teachings is that if you take care of the forest will take care of us. So as humans, the forest provides us a home. It provides us food, clean water, medicines, shelter, and just about everything we would need in our everyday lives. Natotam, or my clan. You also heard in the introduction that my clan is the Bear Clan. So while young, we are learning what it means to be a bear, and as we observe and listen, we grow into these responsibilities. Our bears are speakers and keepers of the law. Our ways remind me of my grandpa Waka, as he was often a speaker at many gatherings. He didn't want to do these things because it's hard to get up and speak in front of people, but he carried these responsibilities because our elders gathered and they talked and they decided that he should be the one to share concerns and speak for the people. So our bears listen, they carry information back and forth, and they articulate information for our entire community. So while I'm growing into being a bear, I find my bear characteristics to be more focused on food, like picking berries and fishing, and eating sweet things and hibernating, and I'm really excited because my hibernation season is coming upon us. Ototamuk, or our clans. So in our Menominee ways of knowing, we have five main clans that are steeped in origin and story. We are from the Menominee River, and the bear was the first relative. He walked along the river and was lonesome, and he called for the eagle to be his brother, and the eagle agreed. As they walked along, they called for more relatives, the wolf, crane, and moose, and they arrived and they took human form, and they became what we now call ourselves Kayas Mamache Tawak, or the ancient movers. So here we have our clans, the Owasa, as I mentioned. They're the first clan, and they're often the speakers and keepers of the law for the community. Kane, or the Eagle Clan, they were the warriors and cared for freedom and justice. Mahwa, they were the hunters and the harvesters. Otachia, the builders and the constructors and the artists. This includes our material culture, current day, and our systems. Moose Clan, or the Moose, they provide security and safety to individuals in the community, and they also watch over the rice. So within this are teachings on how we sustain food systems, how we govern ourselves, how we communicate with each other, and material culture, just to name a few of the things that we take care of. Our clans are ever present, and we're finding ways to contemporize this and let our clan teachings guide us. And so an example that I wanted to share was our Kahkena Wapatut Learning School, which is a dual language learning school where the children are mostly immersed in Menominee language. We have a governance board that's akin to a school board. So instead of having executive positions like a chair and a vice chair and a secretary, we have clan leaders. And each of these clan leaders talks about issues from their clan's perspectives. So we're carrying responsibilities in an indigenous way, and we're accountable to something greater than procedure. We make our decisions based on consensus, meaning we discuss, and we adapt, and we disagree, and we discuss until we reach a decision that all of our clans can agree with. So our clans are another system of learning that we carry with us. Our clans worked together and worked for the collective good of not just humans, but for everything that surrounded us. Omatnomineeskonikun, or the Menominee Reservation. So while I'm hoping that you heard a lot of information about Omatnomineeskonikun throughout the day, I'm going to share a little more and maybe reinforce some. And this map here shows the ancestral territory of a number of indigenous communities that live in this land that we now call Wisconsin. So you may have heard that the Kayes Mamachitawak, or the Menominee, were the first carers of this land. We do not have a migration story. Our creation begins at the Menominee River, and our stories are all of this land here. We once lived on over 10 million acres, and the orange area shows some of what this area looked like. And in listening and learning, our teachings tell us we moved way beyond this orange area, all the way west to Minnesota, as far south as Chicago, and our language is peppered throughout the state. And if you look at some contemporary maps, or you just drive through the state of Wisconsin, you'll hear towns like Manitowoc, and Manitowoc is actually a Menominee word for spirit place. Wauwatosa, which translates into a small ball or a lacrosse ball, and we have stories of epic lacrosse games taking place there. And then we have the city of Shawano, which we pronounce Sawano, and that means from the south or in the southerly direction. So all throughout Wisconsin, you see the Menominee presence. And through a number of treaties, we were displaced. We were removed from the 10 million acres to 235,000 acres, or that little small postage area stamp that you see right up there. Our chiefs fought hard for this land, and we continue that fight to maintain and keep this 235,000 acres for future generations. So our land is connected to our worldview, and by looking at this picture here, you can see our history, you can see our values, and you can see our relationship with the land. This is on the north side of the reservation, just past Sotnawanan or Zor. It's a glimpse into what this land looked like. You can see the stark difference between Wisconsin agriculture and Menominee forestry and sustainability. You can see our relationship with sustainability and how we continue to care for the land. Opaken Okihi and sustainability. So connected to sustainability is the practice of Opaken Okihi, which translates into all of you sit on the land. This is how our ancient relatives cared for the land and maintained relationships with other tribal communities. We were able to share our hunting lands, maple syrup camps, rice camps, with the understanding that our guests would ask permission to sit upon the land, and there were a lot of agreements that were made. Land dispossession changed Opaken Okihi in a lot of not so good ways. The concept of Opaken Okihi continues to exist as we share about language revitalization with other tribes. We're learning from each other. We're sharing about wild rice restoration and sharing seeds with each other. We're talking about climate change and adaptation and how we can learn from each other. And we're sharing our indigenous forestry practices, not just here within what we now call Wisconsin, but in places like Montana and another community that I'll talk a little bit more later. At the heart of Opaken Okihi is sustainability and assuring that we care for things responsibly. So perhaps one of the most defining characteristics of the Menominee people is our forests. We call ourselves the woodland people, and we're of the trees. When we were removed from the 10 million acres to the 235,000 acres, that changed our entire life way. 235,000 acres wasn't enough to sustain all of us. It wasn't enough for all of us to hunt on, to harvest on, and to live from, as we had done for 16,000 years previous to removal. Our chief Oshkosh recognized that to survive, we had to rely on our forests, and the forests provided us with income and a way to move forward in a different type of life. And he's famously known to have said, to start with the rising sun and work towards the setting sun, but take only the mature trees, the sick trees, and the trees that have fallen. When you reach the end of the reservation, turn and cut from the setting sun to the rising sun, and the trees will last forever. This way of knowing has become the heart of our forest management and is full of Menominee science and technology. And as a result of what he shared, our forest continues to thrive while retaining our Menominee values. So all of these systems and ways of knowing help to create what we call the Menominee theoretical model of sustainability. It's a newer model, only 30 years young, and contains many of the things that were shared with you throughout the day. The model was created by our community, including foresters, leadership, and community members, and it represents a way to think about and to frame issues, to make decisions, and to think about sustainability in many different contexts. Each image represents a dimension and focuses on a specific area, much like our Klein system. Collectively, if all the dimensions are discussed and represented, we have sustainability. When they're out of balance, are absent, or there is one singular focus, like focusing on economy and return on investment, we can be out of balance, and that's when we have tensions arrive. So briefly, I'll go through each of these dimensions, and as I do, think about the land where you live, what stories, ideas, or hopes rise to the top for you, and I encourage you to write those down on the model that I shared with you at your tables, and think about them these next 1.5 days, take them home with you, share them with your communities. So our first dimension is land and sovereignty. And land and sovereignty is concerned with how decisions are made for the land and the community. When discussing land and sovereignty, we think about how those decisions will impact the future. We have the natural environment, and this dimension includes Menominee understanding that everything is connected and related. It includes people, human communities, plants, animals, rocks, water, and air. And as an exercise, when you take your next outdoor walk, find a plant, a tree, or something growing in the environment. Observe it throughout the season. What grows around it? What else has a relationship with it? How does it survive through change? And this is a way to start thinking about the environment and relationships. We have our institutions, and this dimension refers to structures that develop and enforce rules of behavior and social interactions. This includes the dynamics between humans, plants, animals, and the environment. And we often think of institution as physical structures like schools, libraries, places of worship, stores, where we go to work, but we can also think of institutions as our clans, our plant relationships, water systems, family structures. When we think in this way, everything becomes a foundational learning system. Our next dimension is technology, and this focuses on rural community access to modern advances in telecommunication, expanded to include cultural tools and practices. And it's understood as how humans do things or how humans get things done. And we have to understand technology and engage with this, as this is where all of our young people are, and we have to find ways to share this knowledge where our young people are at. We can live with and value all technology, including our indigenous ways, because without that, we wouldn't have the forests and we wouldn't have our language. Economy. This dimension incorporates multiple scales ranging from the individual, household, to the tribe, to the region, to the nation, to the globe. And oftentimes, economics is thought of income, expenses, and strictly monetary. And expand this to include values like gifting, taking what's needed, honorably harvesting, and giving back. In our older Menominee ways, the wealthiest people were the ones who gave back the most. We have human perception, activity, and behavior, and this dimension includes individual perceptions, activities, and behaviors to community understandings, values, and collective pursuits. So I shared with you a few of our community values and Menominee ways of knowing, and I was just wondering, thinking, how do you perceive these from your worldview? What activities or what memories does this inspire for you? And our newest dimension is called autochthony. And this dimension is a cultural value and belief that the health of the land and the people are one. It's a profound connection and relationship with the land. So when all the dimensions are in balance and we discuss and we give equal weight to all, we are supposed to have achieved autochthony. So when I think of our community, I believe the Menominee people are of the land. Our language is immersed in the land. Our material culture is of the land. Our foods and our gifts are of the land. So how does it work? At the local level and within SDI, we work hard to practice and model all of these dimensions. And I want to highlight our interns, and you met a few of them here tonight, and they shared some of their work with you. For the past 10 weeks over the summer, they engaged with every dimension in both contemporary and traditional ways. We had a very structured 10-week program and intentionally included all of these dimensions in the work that they learned about how returning buffalo to our community was rebuilding a sacred institution. They learned about technology in both contemporary and traditional ways, having to take an Excel class, and how to share data and make charts. Lastly, human perceptions, activities, and behaviors evolved and grew as a result of their self-guided learning. As mentors, we saw a growing community, a network of relationships, and hopefully lifelong friendships, and we hope that this experience strengthened their connections to being of the land. For our institute, the theoretical model has been an important way for us to share our story and also a way for others to connect. The dimensions and what defines them provides a framework for understanding and has been a connecting point with other Indigenous communities. Other communities are able to interpret the dimensions from their ways of knowing and from their land. So while I've been with SDI for a short period of time, I've been part of some incredible experiences where the model was core to the work. So earlier this year, a delegation from the College of Menominee Nation traveled to Aotearoa, or New Zealand, where we Indigenous communities shared about climate change, where we shared about what communities are observing, and how Indigenous knowledges and language needs to be part of not only our community's discussions, but the world's discussions about climate change and climate adaptation. We shared our theoretical model, our forestry story, and our language and cultural revitalization efforts. And we found connections with the Maori people and their forest community, their food sovereignty work, and their revitalization efforts. And the model connected us in ways that we could not imagine. The picture way over here is one of their forests that is white pine and red pine are growing in this forest, and they're not Indigenous to this land. And within that, you can with her and wanted her hair braided. So that's what you see here is her mom braiding her hair so she can look like our friend from Montana. So a few months after this trip, SDI hosted the Indigenous Summer Planning Institute, and this was a week-long experience where intentional Indigenous knowledge was exchanged. We practiced Apeke Nakihi, and we invited people to sit upon the land with us. We learned from others, and we practiced the theoretical model dimensions. Our earlier trip to Aotearoa, or New Zealand, came full circle because they came here to our community. They're working to restore their ancient forests, and they wanted to learn about Menominee sustainability and Menominee forestry. So we discussed land and sovereignty, economy, and ultimately autochthony. And we built foundations for future work, and we're hoping for another exchange within the next year or two at the Intertribal Timber Council Symposium. So this model was a way for us to engage, exchange knowledge, and find similarities. We built the foundations for a strong future relationship, which is an amazing feat for two very different Indigenous communities that have a continent an ocean and 8,200 miles between them. So what does it all mean? So our Menominee theoretical model of sustainability while of the community is a model that can be adapted and used in a lot of different contexts. Our work within and outside of the community provides example after example of how we can find commonalities in many different contexts. So when we bring our full selves into what we do, Natanawe Makanuk, or our hearts within hearts, the conversations and view responsibilities to beyond the individual, but to all of the things that we're connected to. So I hope that with the stories that I shared, both personal and of the people, that it helped you to think of your own gifts and what you have to contribute to conversations about sustainability, climate change, food systems, and how you work to protect the future generations. And so with that, I wanted to share one more teaching that was from my grandma Cynthia, who for me was a true representation of autochthony and of the land. She always told me, every time I left from visiting her, Kanahit tam maoni kako, or to take care of everything in it. Thank you.